He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You've got to remember, he is risen indeed is the response, okay? Let's try it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well, happy Easter. By the way, did you notice in our reading the pace of our gospel? Everybody seemed to be running around. And that was a big change from the previous day. In fact, we remember that kind of tone even at the Passion on Good Friday. And then at the Easter Vigil, things just begin to build up. But in Luke's version of the resurrection, we do hear that on the Sabbath day, they, meaning the disciples, rested according to the commandment. In other words, they were to rest. They were to cease all work, all travel. They were just to be quiet on the Sabbath. But you have to remember that there probably wasn't a lot for them to get excited about anyway. Their master had just been crucified and entombed. Everything that they had experienced over the past 3 years, all of the miracles, all of the healings, everything that Jesus had done was now shrouded in dread and darkness. And even Jesus' teachings, his remembrances to them that he would rise from the dead were also shrouded. They had forgotten that and didn't even know where to put it because he was now in the tomb. But then on Sunday morning, just before the sun had risen, the women, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and others made their way to the tomb. They needed to finish the burial preparations that they had begun just before the Sabbath had been instituted for that week. And this must have been a dreary procession for them to go to the tomb. Leaving the upper room where they had been with the other disciples, they were making their way to the area where Jesus had been buried, but thinking what they would encounter. They would encounter the lifeless, torn, shredded, bloody body of Jesus Christ. And they would have to prepare him for burial, wrap him up with spices for his eternal rest in that place. But when they arrived, they found the tomb opened and the stone rolled away. And this is no mere feat because the stone was probably about 4.5 feet in diameter and weighed hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Not only had the stone been rolled away, but the Roman seal had been broken, the seal that had been placed on the tomb to warn anybody that it was a capital offense to tamper with the resting place of Jesus. Something had happened to Jesus' body, and at this point the running begins. First, Mary ran to inform the apostles that something had happened to Jesus' body. What a sight that must have been there early in the morning to see Mary rushing headlong through the empty streets of Jerusalem, heading back to the house where the apostles were staying. The news was so alarming and so unnerving to her, she wanted to get there as quickly as she could to sound the alarm that something had happened to Jesus. Finding Peter and John, she told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they put him." Now, it wasn't enough of a shock to know their master is dead. Now, the body is missing. At this news, now Peter and John take off. They're rushing to confirm what had happened. And so you have these two men now rushing headlong through the same empty streets in a frantic pace through to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. And one can only imagine what had been going through their mind. We have to remember they don't know what we know now, that Jesus had risen. And so, sprinting faster than Peter, John arrived there first. He halts at the door, however, looks in, sees the cloths, and then there's no body around. By this time, Peter arrives. He doesn't stop and talk to John. Right smack dab into the tomb he goes. And there he looks around. And he sees the cloths. They are folded on the table where Jesus had been laid. And then in a separate place, the sudarium, which is the face cloth, was rolled up separately. Now, this is completely the opposite of a typical grave robbery in Jerusalem. Normally, they'd leave the body and take the expensive linens. So what happened? It's at this point John adds something really important to his gospel when he says about himself, he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. So John now believed that Jesus had arisen, that he had been raised from the dead. The Master's words about the resurrection must have all of a sudden come back into his mind. It would be later, however, that they would find the scriptures again that would be fulfilled by Jesus' resurrection. But it was clear to John that God had supernaturally acted. Pope Benedict wrote, "God exists. That is the real message of Easter." See, we know that sin separates us from God, but that God did not see our state of sin as a permanent barrier to the relationship that he wanted to have with us. Instead, he opened the way of redemption through Christ's death on the cross. But then he defeated death in the resurrection. So the two eternal enemies of man, sin and death, were dealt with once and for all. So now, our job as 21st century Christians is to continue the race. We're called to run, to continue what they began on Easter morning as they rushed headlong to an empty tomb. We too are called to run the race. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." But what does our race look like? We're not running to inform anybody about a missing body. We're not running to inform people or to look into the tomb. What does our race look like? St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, declared, "Our task as Christians is to proclaim the kingship of Christ, announcing it through what we say and what we do. Our Lord wants men and women of his own in all walks of life. He wants a vast majority to stay right where they are in all earthly occupations in which they work. The factory, the laboratory, the farm, the trades, the offices, the streets of the big cities, and the trails of the mountains." So our job is to run and tell the rest of the story, to reveal the fact to others that truly, that Christ has risen from the dead, that he has left the tomb because he has not only died for our sins, but he has risen again from the dead, conquering death and giving us the hope of eternal life. Now, our race is not a sprint like theirs was. Ours is a marathon, a long-distance event. Our mission field is right where we live, where we work, where we go to school, among our friends, our families, and those with whom we have acquaintance. We are called to run the race in an ordinary world, but there to take the message of the resurrected Christ into every part of our daily life. We can join with St. Maximus the Confessor when we live out the reality of this Easter proclamation. Christ is risen. He has burst open the gates of hell and let the dead go free. He has renewed the earth through the members of his church now born again in baptism and has made it blossom afresh with men brought back to life. His Holy Spirit has unlocked the doors of heaven, which stand wide open to receive those who rise up from the earth. Christ is risen. His rising brings life to the dead, forgiveness to sinners, and glory to the saints. And so David the prophet summons all creation in joining in the celebration of the Easter festival. "Rejoice and be glad," he cries, "on this day which the Lord has made." So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.